Welcome to the Christ Life Ministries. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Olubi Johnson. For more information about these resources, please visit sbcconline.org. God bless you.
Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. We worship and we honor you. It's so good to know you, not remotely, with the knowledge of God and fellowship with you. As we go into your word this morning, we humble ourselves afresh under your mighty hand. We ask for fresh unction and anointing from heaven, so that indeed I would speak as I should, as an oracle of God. I pray that you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts, Father, of all who will hear me, those who are physically present here, and those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so the word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit will be released in great and sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men, so that indeed they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy, to be faithful, that indeed, Father, I will deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in their individual lives, agreed individually and said, Amen. Well, this morning we're going to continue our study in Romans chapter 7. In our last lesson, I believe we stopped somewhere in about verse 13, somewhere in there, I believe it was. You know, and yes, I think it was verse 13. And Paul, studying us, said, he was talking about the law and the sin nature that is still inside our flesh. So he says, you know, there's nothing wrong with the law. The problem is the sin nature in the flesh. So he said in verse 12 and 13, he says, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, just, and good. And was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin, by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. What he's telling us here is that there's no problem with the law. You see, the law is what lets you know that what God says is right and what God says is wrong. But because of the sin nature in the flesh, the law arouses it, you know, and that sin nature, because it is sin, you know, by nature, it's intrinsic, it rebels against the law, and it always wants to do something that is contrary to God's law. We have to understand and continue to emphasize this wonderful truth. Well, it's not wonderful, it's a great truth. In other words, when you understand it, it helps you overcome sin. You know, that sin is a nature. It's not just something people do. You know, when we talk about sin, people always think about deeds of sin. You know, adultery, fornication, blah, blah, blah. You know, all those are just branches. The root of it is a nature. And that nature is actually a distorted form of the divine nature due to separation from God. When any created being, angels and men, when they separate from God, the power that comes from being in contact with God, that keeps the divine nature and character, keeps it in its correct, I would use this word, you know, from physics, you know, just to explain a spiritual truth, because the truths are parallel, remains, keeps its configuration. But once the power from God is no longer there, that configuration can no longer be kept. So it now becomes distorted. It is that distorted form of the divine nature that is sin. And by its very nature, it cannot submit to the will of God. The Bible says the carnal man is in enmity against God. We'll see that later in Romans chapter 8. He says, it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. We're talking about intrinsic things here. When we say something is intrinsic, we're saying it is, in, you know, it is a fundamental part, attribute of that thing. It's inside it. That's why I use the word intrinsic. It's inside it. So the sin nature intrinsically is in enmity with the divine law. It can't do it. Even if it tried, it wouldn't even try anyway, because it's even in, it's contrary to divine law. So its willingness, attributes is always contrary to what God wants to do. That is why we all need to be born again. However good intentioned a man can be as a sinner, he will not be able to do God's law to any appreciable degree. You know why? The nature inside him will not allow him to do it. Even if his will wants to do it, the nature inside will not allow him to do it. So you have to get rid of that divine nature. And that's what we see in the verses that precede, that follow this. Paul explaining this truth. And I think this is one of the most illuminating parts of Scripture explaining what we call the sin problem. The sin problem is explained in Romans chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. The solution to the sin problem is explained in Romans chapter 8. That is why the book of Romans is so fundamental. You know, when we started the church in 1984, I taught on this, and over the years, I must have taught the book of Romans maybe about 5-6 times, you know, over these last 30-something years, 36 years now, you know, because it's so fundamental. If you do not understand the sin problem, you don't understand what sin is and how to overcome it, you know, using the blood of Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, you will keep walking around in circles as a Christian. And so many Christians are still like that as I speak today. And that's why many of us, you know, sadly and very regrettably, still are legalistic. Legalism is trying to use some legal, natural method of attaining righteousness. So they think, okay, if I wear this kind of clothes, I'm righteous. If I don't go to this place, I'm righteous. If I don't sit in this place, I'm righteous. Like Paul said somewhere in Galatians, he said, touch not, taste not, handle not. They're trying to use some physical activity to attain divine righteousness and divine holiness. It will never work. Because the sin nature that is intrinsic is still there. No matter how much you paint it, you know, no matter how much you on the outside, you try and have some facade, you know, of holiness, because intrinsically the nature is still there, it becomes hypocrisy. And that's what the Pharisees had. The Pharisees, you know, they did this, they washed their hands. That's why they were angry with Jesus when Jesus came to one of the times, as recorded in the Gospels. Jesus came and he and his disciples, they didn't wash their hands and they just ate. So, and they said, look, you guys are not keeping the tradition of the elders. It's unclean to do that, and it shows you're not righteous. And Jesus said, you missed the whole boat. He said, it's not what a man eats that makes him clean or unclean, you know, whether he washes with his hands, you know, it's the righteousness from within, which is a spiritual thing, you know. And that's why they didn't understand Jesus at all, and they were so contrary to him. And same thing still happening today, you know. Legalistic Christians do not understand Christians who are operating in revelation knowledge. And so he says in verse 14. He said, for we know, I didn't hear you, that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Let me quickly interject here before we go on. Traditional Christian thinking you know, down through the age, down through the centuries, has a wrong understanding of this. It's not until recent years. When I say recent years, I'm talking about the last 100 years or so. Thank God for E.W. Kent. Let's give E.W. Kent a clap offering. Amen. And some of the other leaders, you know, fathers that God opened this truth up to. The traditional thinking say things that Paul is talking about his condition here before he got born again. No. You can be a Christian and be carnal. You know, so they say, oh, this is condition. No. You have to be ignorant and patently dishonest to maintain that argument, as we will see as the scriptures unfold. No, he's talking about his condition as a Christian, but the sin nature still dominating his soul and his body. And that's a problem all of us. It's a universal problem, you know. And the only solution is to walk in the Spirit and operate the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which we will see in more detail in chapter 8. But I needed to interject that, because if you don't, you know, the traditional thinking and many of the books we've read, you know, will just start taking us down a wrong path in our thinking. So he says, now he begins to explain the problem. For that which I do, I didn't hear you. I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. He said, he's telling you the problem. I want to do the right thing, but I find myself doing the wrong thing. And it's because of that nature of sin that is still in the soul and in the flesh. And he's going to explain that as we go along. You know? Now, verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Listen to verse 17. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. To explain further, so you're not confused. That's why I say you have to be patently dishonest and ignorant for you to continue with that argument, because he explains it in verse 17. For I know that in me, I didn't hear you. Then he puts it in brackets, parentheses, and says, that is in my flesh. In other words, it is not the whole of me that has sin. The real me, the spirit man, is born again. He has a divine nature, but in my flesh. That's why he put it in bracket, so you won't be confused. That's why I said, for people to maintain that argument is dishonest. He's already explained it. He's not saying the spirit man. He's talking about the flesh. And the flesh is the physical body, as well as the mind, the will, and the emotions. That's what the Bible calls the flesh. You know, it's a composite term. You know, so the sin nature is still in the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions, and in the body. That is why we desire things that are contrary to God. Because think about it, folks, and let's be honest. If you have the divine nature, and you got God's nature in your spirit, soul, and body, why would the divine nature desire something wrong? It can't. So it means there's another nature there. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. So he says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. That is inside the physical body. This is a spiritual thing. It's not physical. It's spiritual. This sin nature is spiritual. It's not physical. It operates inside the physical body. It operates inside the mind, the will, and the emotions. But its origin is not physical. It's spiritual. And that's why the only way you can overcome it is by using spiritual forces. Try and use anything in the natural to do it. It's not going to work. Because it's spiritual. It's not physical. So it says, for in me, you know, that is in my flesh, well, no good thing. For to will is present with me. Observe, the will is free. The will is free. Even people in the Old Testament, the sinners in the Old Testament, all Daniel and Abraham and all that man still had a free will. But even with his free will, he couldn't do what is right. Because the sin nature in him didn't allow him. It's only in the Old Testament, those who learned how to keep the spiritual law, that the word is in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. When they did that, then the power of the Holy Spirit came from the outside, from the air, to suppress that sin nature, to dominate it so that they could do the right thing. That's how you have Old Testament saints like Enoch, like Daniel, like Joseph, and many others who lived holy and righteous lives by the power of the Holy Spirit, but it wasn't inside them because they hadn't been born again, but it came from the outside. Any other person who just tried to do by animal sacrifices and keeping the ceremonial something always failed. And thank God, David got to know this. He said, "A sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not." You know, when he sinned, he said, if it was, I would offer it. He said, "But a humble and a contrite spirit thou would not despise." The guys who had a handle on this thing in the Old Testament understood what I'm talking about. They understood that this thing is spiritual. You can't do it by physical, by physical observances. So you could go to Jerusalem quite all right. You could sacrifice an animal, you know, which God told them to do in the Old Testament, but it won't solve your problem because your problem is spiritual. So the only real solution is the Word of God, which is spirit and life. So when you put it in your heart and you put it in your mouth, then that power of the Holy Spirit through your mouth now suppresses in the Old Testament. It couldn't clean it. It just suppressed it in the Old Testament and allowed them to do the right thing. You know, and that's why everybody had to be born again. All men from Adam right onto, you know, onto Jesus, you know, all of them. That's why when Jesus died, he went across, the Bible says he went to preach to the spirits in prison. Every single person in the Old Testament, all the great guys we talk about, Daniel, and they all went to Abraham's bosom. They could not go to heaven because the price had not been paid. And it was after Jesus was raised from the dead, he spoiled principalities and powers. The Bible says he went across the gulf, you know, preached to spirits in prison. Then they believed, then they got born again, then he now led captivity captive. Give the Lord a clap offering. All this truth was inside the Bible, but it was hidden for centuries. The early church understood it. Peter, James, and John, and all of that. But that truth died with the first and second generation. By the time the Bible was put together, people were reading the Bible with what we call sense knowledge. They were trying to use just natural understanding. And that's why, you know, we got into all the things, you know, with, you know, trying to use, they would say, oh, if you died, then you go and give an offering to them in Rome, and they will pray for your great-grandfather. You know, all kinds of religious things trying to solve a problem that is only spiritual. You can't solve it naturally. You can't solve it by doing something. You can't solve it by going to Jerusalem. You can't solve it by going to Rome. You can't solve it by sitting on nails. You can't solve it by fasting. You can't solve it, you know, by any physical thing. If spiritual power is not injected into it, it's of no use. So Paul tells us, he said, you know, "For to will is present with me, but how to perform that thing which is good, I find not." Verse 19. For the good, he's repeating himself, but it's the Holy Spirit who's doing this for emphasis. He had already said the same thing earlier on. He said, "For the good that I would not, that I would, I do not. But the evil that I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me." Meaning that this man has more than one part. There is a part of him that is righteous. Then there is another part of him in the flesh that has sin in him. He said, it is no more I. Who is the I? The new man. The born again spirit. Hallelujah. The new creation. He doesn't have sin in him. The Bible says he's created in righteousness and in holiness of truth. Hello, somebody. He says, if any man be in Christ, a new creature. He's talking about that. He said, I, the new creature. I don't say. He said, but I'm still living inside my physical body. And my will and my mind and my emotions are still, you know, still have that sin nature in them. So the sin that is dwelling in the mind and the emotions and in the physical body is making me do things that the real man doesn't want to do. Hello, somebody. So he goes on to explain in verse 20. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law. A better word for that today would be a principle. This is what happens all the time. It's a spiritual law, principle, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Every time I try and do the right thing, I see this other thing coming against me. And all of us have experienced that. Unless you're dishonest. And it doesn't mean he's not born again. He's born again. He said so earlier on. He said, that is in my flesh. Then he repeats the same thing in verse 22. In verse 21 says, I find any law. Now when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God. After the what? So he said, there is a part of me that delights, wants to do the will of God. That new inward man, that new born again spirit. I don't understand how people could say over the years that he's talking about Paul before he got born again. He cannot be. The inward man. He's not. He's a born again. Hallelujah. But I see. Oh, I didn't hear you folks. Another law. They got two laws in operation here. There is one inside the born again spirit. Then there is another one inside the flesh. But I see another law in my members, the physical body, warring in conflict against the law of my mind. Watch this. Bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. See, until I learn how to operate these laws and principles, the one from the outside operating through the flesh seems to win. So it brings me into captivity. It makes me do what I don't really want to do and what my new nature inside the inner man, in inward man, doesn't want to do. That is what makes carnal Christians. A Christian that has not grown and developed and doesn't understand these principles and doesn't operate them will find this will be his experience. He will want to do the right thing, but he will be doing the wrong thing. He will want to do the right thing, he'll be doing the wrong thing. And then he will get into frustration. And so many, sadly, you know, are still like that as I speak today. Because you hardly ever find where people are taught how to walk in the Spirit. And this same thing Paul is saying here in Romans is the exact same thing he said in Galatians. In Galatians chapter 5 in verse 17, he says, the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. He said, these are contrary one to another, so you cannot do what you want to do. Same thing. I don't know where we got that thing from. It's dishonesty. It's exactly the same thing. In Galatians, it's clear he's talking about the new man. Because it says that the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. But he's saying the same thing here. He didn't use the word new man here. He used the word inward man. But it's the same thing. So every Christian goes through this struggle where the sin nature in the soul and in the body want to try and dominate the divine nature that's inside the spirit. But it shouldn't, because the divine nature in the spirit is more powerful. Glory to God. But if you don't know how to release it and you do not release it with consistency, you will discover that the sin nature in the soul and body seem to have, you know, dominate more than the divine nature in the spirit. And that's because of ignorance and a lack of diligence. Those are really the two things. Many Christians are either ignorant of this, or where they even know it, they're not diligent about it. So, like Paul wrote to the Corinthian Christians, he said, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. He's talking to born-again, spirit-filled people. Go and read 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He said, you come behind in no gift. These same Corinthians were speaking in tongues. He even said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. He was even trying to tell them that, you know, don't just speak in tongues anytime. It shows how immature, you know, and unspiritual they were. It's like I'm preaching now, you know, and then Sister Rhoda just gets up and starts speaking in tongues, you know. Or Brother Balogun just gets up and starts speaking in tongues, interrupting me while I'm talking. So Paul had to write letters. It's not like that. It's good for you to speak in tongues. But when you are in church, do it quietly. You know, except when there's a time where you want to give an utterance in tongues and somebody else give an interpretation. He didn't say they shouldn't speak in tongues. He was telling them that don't misuse it. Don't behave like children who have new toys. And you don't know how to play with them at the right time. Praise the Lord. That's what he was telling them. And so, he's saying here in verse 23, he said, I see another law, which is in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing into captivity the law of sin, which is in my members. Observe, the law of sin is inside the members, the physical body. It's not inside the inward man. There's a conflict here. But the good news is that you win. Give a lot of clap offering. Hallelujah. When you know, when you have understanding. So he says in verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You know, the way the King James put it, let me give it the way the Holy Spirit gave it to me many years ago, and I still say that. Who shall deliver me from the spiritual death that is inside this physical body? That's what he's saying. You shall be from this body of death. This physical body now is spiritually dead because of the sin nature that is inside. We're going to see this more in chapter 8. You know, he said the Christ is in you. The spirit is life because of righteousness, but the body is dead because of righteousness. There's a message I've preached in recent times, you know, on Aaron's rod. See, Aaron's rod is a type of our physical body. Aaron's rod was dead. It had been cut from a branch. It was dead. But if you will put it in the presence of the ark, you know what's going to happen? That dead rod will do three things. It will bud, it will blossom, and it will give almonds. Come next week to find out what the budding, what the blossoming, and what the almonds are. Sit down. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. It will do three things. That's why there's 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Some Christians are budding, but they're not blossoming. Some are blossoming, but they're not giving almonds. Another message for another day. Don't let me steal your thunder. Praise the Lord. So to speak. All right. This body of death. Hallelujah. Who will deliver me? Thank God. I will say Jesus will deliver us. No, Jesus has delivered us. He's not going to deliver. He's already done it. Amen. That's why he came. He said, I thank God. See, he doesn't end on a note of despair. He does not end on a note of defeat or discouragement. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, watch this. With the mind, I myself, the real me. Look at what he called. He said, I myself. See, the inner man, the spirit man is the real man. The soul and the body are parts of, you know, they're parts of us. Where you know, the Bible says we're spirit, soul, and body. But the real man, he said, I myself is a spirit. That spirit has a soul. The soul is a part of the spirit, even though there is some distinction between them. And what you need to do is learn how to put the nature of the spirit into the soul and into the body, and everybody will behave themselves. Are you listening to me? The most powerful part is the spirit. You know why? You are a spirit. You are not a soul. You are a spirit. You have a soul. Oh, I didn't hear you. Spiritual anatomy, praise the Lord. Put that illustration up on the screen. I haven't done it for some time, the of spirit, soul, and body, the one we use, you know, that shows the cleaning of the blood. I'm going to do this again, you know, when I teach from Romans chapter 8. But I just want to, for today, I'm just going to look at the anatomy. I'm not going to go into the detail. Okay, thank you. Not this one. The first one. Not this one. Yes. Now, just stop it. Just stop the movie for a minute. All I'm going to do is what I call a lesson in spiritual anatomy. This is explains to us who we really are. That's why I say I myself. You see that man in there that has the yellow inside? That's the born again spirit. The white on top that has those dots, those black dots, that's the soul. And those little dots represent the sin nature in the soul. Now, that inner man with the inner man as well as the soul, they live inside the physical body, which again is outlined in black. Now, the sin nature is in the soul, represented by those black dots, as well as inside the physical body. When you don't know who you are, when you do not have a revelation of the fact that you've been born again in Christ Jesus, you will find that the sin nature that is in the soul and in the body dominate the inner man with incorporation with the prince of the power of the air, the devil, you know, in Ephesians chapter 2, you know, from the air. That's what happens to most Christians. They live all their lives thinking that, you know, you even hear Christians saying like, I'm a sinner saved by grace. You're not a sinner. You were a sinner. Then you got born again and saved by grace. So now you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You were a sinner, but you are no longer a sinner. That's no longer your title. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know what Jesus told Nicodemus? He said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Then Nicodemus was confused. He thought he was talking physically. So Jesus said, this is Olubi Johnson paraphrase. He said, I'm not talking physically, I'm talking spiritually. Then he said, that which is born of spirit is spirit. So what got born again is spirit. The body didn't get born again. The mind did not get born again. The emotions didn't get born again. The only thing that got born again was your spirit. So that's why we see here, you know, you see the spirit. So all that yellow in there, that's the real man. And the volume of the power of the life of God inside the spirit far outweighs the one in the soul. Can't you see? See how small the soul is. So if you will learn to walk in the spirit, you will dominate it. No wonder why he said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. No wonder why he said that sin will not have dominion over you if you really know who you are. The Bible says, you know, because you're not under the law, you're under grace. What does grace give? It gives life. That divine life that is inside you, if you use it properly, it will dominate the sin nature. Not only will it dominate, it will flush it out. And get the whole thing out completely, you know. Really, where God is going is this. For the divine nature in the spirit to be injected through, that's why you need to pray without ceasing. That's why you need to pray all the time. That's why Jesus and Paul said the same thing in two different ways. Jesus said this way. He said, watch and pray always that you enter not into temptation. Paul said, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of flesh. It's the same thing. Except that Jesus gives you the solution. So Paul just said walk in the spirit, but he didn't tell you, you know, in that particular context, he didn't tell you how. Just now told you how. He said watch and pray. So when you watch and you pray, and he said pray without ceasing, what you're doing is that you're allowing the divine nature in the spirit to constantly, and the key word there is constantly. That's why he said, do it when you get up. Do it when you're walking, by the way. Do it when you sit down. Do it when you're sleeping, you know, just before you go to bed. You know, you need to keep the soul and the body constantly, I'm going to use a very wonderful expression now, constantly bathed. See, that thing, Bible calls it living water. You want to allow that living water to constantly be flowing in the mind, the will, the emotions, inside the body. It has to be on a constant basis. So it will keep the sin nature inside it dominated. And you do it diligently enough through prayer and intercession. That's where groanings and supplication and all that come in. You will actually not just dominate, you will flush it out. Once you flush it out, if you maintain its constant flow, you will keep it out permanently. It will try and come in because of the prince of the power of the air, like Jesus. The Bible says Jesus was tempted in every way like as we are, but it will never be able to have a foothold. It will just knock, and then you say, no, thank you, we're not at home. That's what the Yoruba say. Masinle. You know, it will come and then you knock and say, out. It will come and you push it out. And that's what total sanctification is all about. That's what Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He said, you know, I pray God that you're whole. Not holy, but whole. You know, whole means complete. Your whole spirit, soul, and body, you know, be sanctified, you know, and be, you know, that I pray that you, how does it say it? You know, that you be sanctified, spirit, soul, and body. Let's read it. It's in 1 Thessalonians. We're going to close in a minute. 1 Thessalonians, this is beautiful stuff. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. Thank God. Aha. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be what? Preserved what? Blameless. Unto the coming. This is not something that happens when you get to heaven. It's something that happens before you go to heaven. That's why it's unto the coming. It's not after the coming. You can put it another way. It is a preparation for the coming. It's a preparation for the coming. How many people want to be ready when Jesus comes? Sanctify spirit, soul, and body. Sanctified. Otherwise, if you don't sanctify spirit, soul, and body, you will not be ready when he's coming. Oh gosh, you know, all kinds of revelations are just flying into my heart. You know, that's the difference between the virgin that has oil in his lamp, a vessel, and the one that doesn't have. The vessel is the physical body. See, all the 10 virgins, all of them had oil in the lamp. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. All of them are born again. The 5 wise and the 5 foolish. But the wise ones who are the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's the difference. The wise ones who had the spirit of wisdom and revelation and operated the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus went the extra mile and put the life of God, the oil, inside the vessel. That was why they were ready when the bridegroom came. The other virgins, they were virgins too. All of them were virgins. All of them are born again. Jesus did not say the kingdom of the devil is like. He said the kingdom of heaven is like unto. So everybody, all the 10 virgins were all in the kingdom of heaven. But the ones that didn't put oil in their vessel were not ready when the bridegroom came. Thank God Jesus is not coming tomorrow. 99% of the church will not go. If you can't say amen, say oh me. Don't your neighbor say, thank God he's not coming tomorrow. And he's giving us more time to put oil in our vessels. Let's go back to Romans 7 and close. I don't know if I've helped anybody here. Even if I haven't helped, I preach me happy. Praise the Lord. Okay. So he said, who will deliver me from this body of death? Verse 25, and that's the last verse in chapter 7. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So the flesh, there's the physical body, the mind, the emotions, you know, and the physical body. We'll see all of that next week in more detail. You find that it is that sin nature that causes you to, you know, with the flesh, the law of sin, but with the mind, in other words, what I want to do, my will, I'm serving the law of God. So if I learn how to use the law of the spirit of life, that's what we're going to look at next week, you know, and I do it And this is the critical part. Consistently. The problem with our Christianity is a lack of consistency or a lack of diligence. No wonder, you know, that's why he told them in the Old Testament. He told Joshua, he told them, you know, he says, you shall diligently. God knows. He knows what's inside the system. He said, diligently. He said, this book of the law will not depart. He's telling you, keep the thing flowing. Keep the life flowing. Keep the power of the Holy Spirit flowing. But thou shalt meditate in it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written. He said, for then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. He said in Deuteronomy 30, he said, the word is not, you don't have to go to heaven to go and bring it. It's not going to Jerusalem. It's not killing a cow or killing a goat. He said, forget all that. You know, this will be Johnson's paraphrase. But this is the spirit of the scripture I'm giving you. He said, what said, the word is nigh thee in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. In other words, if you will keep the word in your heart and in your mouth, you will ensure that the divine life in the spirit is constantly flowing into the flesh, into the emotions, into the mind, into the body, and keep it in subjection, which we had in the Old Testament. But we have both now in New Testament. Better testament established upon better promises. Not only will you dominate it, you will flush it out. Not only will you flush it out, you will keep it out. It's called perfection. Stand to your feet. Glory to God. That, what I just described to you, that's what is called perfection. That they say is not possible. If it's not possible, then everything Paul wrote in the New Testament is rubbish. Of course it's possible. That's exactly what Jesus came to buy for us. That's why he will not be satisfied until he is the revealer of his soul and is satisfied. He wants, and it's not, you know, like what the lies we've been told. It's not hard. His commandments are not grievous. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. If you do it his way, with his wisdom, and not your own contrived human methods. That's what's making it difficult. You want to be holy, you know, don't eat this kind of food, oh, you know, although there's a place for fasting and prayer and all of that, but that's not, it's not the fasting and the praying. It's per se. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that now makes you fast and pray properly. Don't put the cart before the horse. The thing that is making the everything work is what is coming from inside, which can only come through fasting and prayer. Through prayer, speaking God. You see, that's why if you, even if you just fast alone, you know, if you go to all these esoteric Eastern religions, you see them trying to do all kinds of things. You know, they won't eat. You know, they will sit on a nail. They will try and they'll try and meditate, levitate, you know, and try and do all kinds of physical things. None of those things, Paul said so in Romans, Colossians chapter 2. None of those things, they cannot stop the indulgence of the flesh. They have a show of wisdom, you know, that it looks as if, you know, it's wise, you know. But it, so long as the spirit is not there, it's not going to work. Hallelujah. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. Lord, prepare me a sanctuary.
A sanctuary.
Pure and holy.
Pure and holy.
Tried and true.
Tried and true. Tried and true.
Hallelujah.
With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving.
This is one of the old songs. Most of our modern people don't sing these songs anymore.
I'll be
a song of sanctification.
Sanctuary.
For sing it. Hallelujah. Very simple. Lord, prepare me. Glory to God. A sanctuary.
Pure and holy.
Tried and Hallelujah.
I'll
be a living. Glory to God.
I'll be a living
sanctuary for you.
Sanctuary.
One more time. For you. It's a prayer. Lord, prepare me. Hallelujah. Sing it from your heart.
Lord, prepare me.
A sanctuary.
A sanctuary.
Pure and holy. Glory to God.
Pure and holy.
Tried and true. Glory to God.
Tried and
thanksgiving.
With thanksgiving,
I'll be a living.
I'll be a living
sanctuary for you.
Sanctuary for you.
With thanksgiving, hallelujah.
With thanksgiving.
I'll be a living.
I'll be a living
sanctuary.
Sanctuary
for you.
Put one hand on your heart. Raise your other hand to God.
A living sanctuary. That's what St. Paul is saying. We're going to see right there in Romans chapter 12. He said, present your body a living sacrifice. A sanctuary. A place where God lives, where God's nature lives constantly. Nothing unclean or something can come from the outside and enter. What is inside is much more powerful than anything that is on the outside. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Raise that hand and say, Father, I confess our sins, especially the sins of unbelief, of ignorance, of a lack of diligence in operation of spiritual laws, so that the life of God and the nature of God and the power of the Holy Spirit can dominate our souls and our physical bodies. Father, have mercy on us. Receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. Receive your life and your power. Insufficient measure. My Father and my God, make me a wise virgin. Give me fresh revelation, fresh understanding of these things that I have heard this morning. So I will not just understand them, I'll put them into practice daily, consistently, so that the life of God and the power of the Holy Spirit will dominate my mind, my will, my emotions, my physical body, so I will live in righteousness. My physical body will become a living sanctuary for you, a place where you can operate, a place where your nature and your character will be shown forth as a blessing to the rest of humanity. Oh God. Oh God, oh God, I cry unto you, make me a living sanctuary in Jesus' name. Father, thank you. Mercy, Lord. Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, I thank you. Lord Holy Spirit, we thank you. Lombre di glama tolomo to frenessa, gelia cato frenengar do fressa, tolomo to fre glama to frenengar sa, gelica glama tolomo to frede, rica tolomo tolo, lombre glama to fress, tolomo to frede, rito zeria, gelica to frenes, no frenengarsk. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. I've said this many times over the years, and this Bible study and this time is another opportunity to re-emphasize it. The primary purpose is not the only,
But the primary purpose why God gave us speaking in tongues, that's why every Christian should baptize the Holy Spirit. Not every Christian operates the gifts of diversities of tongues and interpretation of tongues. That's a different matter. But this speaking in tongues, what the primary reason is to effect this flow of the life of God, the power of the Holy Spirit into the soul and body throughout the day. As the primary, it's not the only reason, but it's the primary reason. That's why Paul said, I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding. I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding. That's what Jesus had at the back, Paul had at the back of him when he said, pray without ceasing. When you pray, you know, not just speaking in tongues, you know, alone, but you know, the life, the blood of Jesus, the life of God, the word of God inside, then you now put the tongues on top. You know, it causes the life of God, the power of the Holy Spirit that is inside, to constantly flow into the mind, the will, and the emotions. Then you will find that it's not difficult for you to dominate sin. In fact, you will find sin runs away from you, because you really want you know, what is coming from the Spirit will be so powerful. It's like a flood. So out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. It's coming with such force and with such magnitude in terms of volume that what is coming from the outside cannot challenge it. Cannot successfully challenge it. But because we don't do it often, you know, and even when we do it in the flesh, you know, just speak in tongues so that to try and prove to somebody that you are spiritual, or you know, and that's why he said, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, if love and the divine nature, you know, and motivation is not at the bottom of it, then it loses effectiveness. But when you do it properly, you know, you put in the word of God to love, you know, you put in the life of God, then you now pray in tongues. You will dominate sin. God bless you.
I'll be a living sanctuary.
Oh Lord,
for you.
In Jesus.
Thank you. Believe these words have empowered you to live a victorious, transcendent life in Christ. Our mission is to equip God's people for service and build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We encourage you to enjoy and share from thousands of resources, including books, sermons, prophecies, and articles available on our website, spcconline.org. Thank you, and God bless you.